I'm just reminded of a saying that God is always moving. The Holy Spirit is always moving. And it's either He's moving towards you or to you, or He's moving past you. Nonetheless, He's moving. But whether He moves towards you or past you, that's a choice each one of us has to make. We choose whether He comes past us or whether He comes to us, depending on how we posture or position our hearts. And one thing that I'm increasingly learning as I minister to people is only to minister to people that God is already ministering to. Does that make sense? If the Holy Spirit is going past you, there's no point for me to lay hands on you. Because that means in your heart, you're not in a place of receiving, even if I touched you and pushed you to the ground. In the same way, there's no point of doing it if God isn't doing it. In the same way, never promoting people that God isn't promoting. Because in whatever the case that is, He must have a good reason. But one thing I know for sure is that God wants to touch every one of us. He wants to work in every one of us. He wants to move in every one of us. That's His desire, that's His heart, that's what He wants to do. But whether He gets to do that, it's totally dependent. It's up to you. It's good to be back. And it was awesome watching God work in the lives of people in Korea. I saw God work in the most incredible ways. I've seen God encounter people with their heart. I've seen the ministry of the Father's heart and touching and transforming people. But He just gave me an opportunity to get to watch Him work in a whole new dimension that I hadn't seen God work in people's lives as a father. And you know, the most incredible thing I see is every time I go away and I watch God work, it releases another dimension in me. Which in turn, whenever I come back home, is on me to release. So if you never make a point of being here in these moments, I can tell you as we go in future, these moments while I'm here might be far and wider apart. So if you're never here when I'm here, you'll be missing out on great impartation every time. Because there's a release that God does in me when I go to minister, he ministers to me and also releases something in me on a very new level or new platform. Does that make sense? So my hope in every time I come home is to be able to release and impart that. So when you're not there, you're doing yourself a big disservice. Does that make logical sense? Awesome. Anybody ready to hear about some of the stories from Korea? If Nicole hasn't shared them all, she hasn't had time. Yeah, they're having fun over there. That's good. Yeah, it's always amazing that whenever, wherever people choose to open their hearts, God meets them big time. I didn't think much about it in going to Korea because it just happened more of like they contacted me on Friday and they bought the tickets and everything on Saturday. So the cool part is this was one of the first trips I've done where it didn't cost me anything. So that was awesome. And they even gave me some money. So that was a change for a start. You know, there's Koreans and all that stuff, North Korea happening, but those have been happening forever to a point where the locals have even come numb to it. They don't even pay attention. It is up here who are listening to CNN that are making more of a big deal about it. But one thing that I really didn't think about until I started hearing testimonies is that most parents, the generation of the parents here, pops, mom, and the baby boomers, they were born and they grew up during the Korean War. And it was not just about the war. It is all just also the poverty and the privity that was around the whole country in that area. And during the Japanese invasion, that means most of the grandmothers also suffered a lot in the hands of the Japanese. That's where you hear the word of comfort women, where pretty much the Japanese army raped women and took them into brothels as entertainment for Japanese soldiers. So you're looking at a country and the culture where the women, the sense of shame of how the things they suffered. And when the Japanese finished and went away, the Korean War also brought the American GIs that had also the same attitude towards women. So you're looking at a generational line of shame and abuse. And these became the mothers and the fathers also from the poverty and the things about war. Subconsciously, I know history, but I just didn't think about it until I was confronted with the reality of it during ministry time, just how much impact it all has on not just the yesteryear generation, but that transferred to the newer generation. And how most home, just about everything, everybody they would testify that their father was an absent father. In the nature of the culture, fathers, most of them, would leave 6 a.m. in the morning and don't come back until 10 p.m. So they have a father, but he's just never there. And that brings about also the other issues since the 1950s of the war. Conscription in the Korean army still happens. Unless you are the firstborn son or the only son, then you are excused. So they are raised by very stoic, distant fathers that are never there. And then when they become of age, they are also inducted into the Navy, Army, or Air Force. So when they leave, so most of these kids that are coming back to do the school, they have been through the military. So there is a certain sense of hardness and detachment. How hard is that for God to touch them? And as I was hearing testimonies more and more, I was just overwhelmed about the commitment of the father to his children. Not only the children, it's no matter how big, small they are. He was really touching the students, the staff, the leaders. He just blasted them with equal measure of compassion and love. And it's one of those things. I'm not doing counseling or thing. It's just share and just release the father's heart and love for them. And probably one of the most cool stories is the stories about how God would come, encounter them, and would take them to memories that consciously they don't even remember ever happened. One lady was saying, as we're doing ministry, she suddenly saw herself in her mother's womb. You take them that back. And as she is in the womb, she was 15 days overdue. And she's in the hospital. And then there's the mother and the relatives, the grandparents, and she could hear every little detail of what they are saying. And the Holy Spirit just brought it out, and she remembered hearing every single word. And then she heard how the mother was saying she didn't want this baby. And the argument back and forth in the room. And then when she's hearing that, and then the father walks in. And in that moment, she knew that she was loved, she was wanted, she was accepted. You see, there's no level of teaching or ministry that can just bring that level of encounter and healing. And she laughed and laughed all day long. The other boy, he was born, when he was born, his mother was only 7 months pregnant. So that would be about how many months premature? Oh, you're being technical to me. Talk to a dummy. Church midwife. He was born 2 months early. And the father just came and brought the whole picture, memory, and scenario of him 2 months early in the incubators in the hospital. Because he was in the incubators for that long, the parents are wherever they are. He was saying that throughout his all years, he could just never get over this sense of loneliness and aloneness. And he never figured why. And that moment, the father brought him in this as a little baby in this incubator. And he saw the father walk in and be with him. And he just knew he was there. And this guy was incredible because he showed him from when he was in an incubator to every junction in his life till that very moment in areas he felt loneliness and things happened to him and how the father was there for him. And when he was 5 years old, he was in his with his mother in a car and they crashed. His mother died. And he survived. And he saw the father walk into that accident scene and held him and told him, it's okay. And I'm just there, it's like, God, how wonderful you are. I've seen God encounter, the father encounter people, but I'd never seen it like that. I've seen similar things when we're doing listening prayer, the kind of prayer that Martin does. I've seen it when we do that, but this is like sovereignly, corporately, bam! Everybody in visions and having encounters and God taking them back to places and time. The other guy, he was a little boy and went to sleep. Mom had gone somewhere and dad was looking after him and two sisters. And for some reason, he had to go get stuff at the shop. So he left, went to the shop and left him sleeping. While he was away, he woke up. The father just brought him that memory where he just sees this. He wakes up as a toddler and there's nobody in the house. And he'd grown up to that moment, he always felt God was very distant and nowhere to be seen. And then the Lord just brought him to that memory. Why? And he cried and screamed and screamed and screamed. There was nobody in the house. And the father walked in and goes to the fridge and brings a tub of ice cream. And he sits on the floor with him. And the two of them are eating ice cream. I'm just like, come on. Even if you tried. This is just happening corporately, just everywhere. And the father is eating ice cream with him. And he just brought a deeper sense of fulfillment and security in his heart. And he met his dad. And this is the girl. It's like, does he come to end? That's a memory that she didn't remember. I think she would have been about 5. And the father showed her dad, took her to an amusement park, and lost her. Lost the baby in an amusement park. And there's many people, and then she sees herself like an aerial picture, sees herself in the midst of everything, on her own and screaming and crying and crying. You see, all these things people are saying, that is how their relationship with God and in their 30s and 40s, 20s is like. They still have an emotional connection with God that is based on their trauma, the pain. And each time the Father shows up, he's just bringing healing and a connection with him. And as she's screaming, lost in an amusement park, Jesus just stands up and picks her by the hand and leads her to her earthly father, and the father finds her. And then she cried out the more. It was just incredible. And you're just hearing story after story, story after story. The other guy, his dad passed away when he was 7 years old. So he never felt like he ever needed a father, and he could never connect with God as a father. And the father just crashed on him. So it was just incredible just watching God and just being a part of that. But not only did he just meet them and heal them in their heart, the same that guy that was in a car crash and the mother died when he was 5, I don't know, probably would have been part of the accident. He lost hearing in the left ear. I wasn't even praying for that, and it was just happening, and the Lord just brought back hearing in his ear. And I was just like, come on, Jesus. As though all that stuff he did was not enough. Ben, the guy that is leading the school, is Omari, one of your cousins, Tara. And he had an injury in his leg, and knee, and back during rugby. So it's really give him discomfort. And he just felt the heat come to his leg, and the leg completely gone, the pain completely gone. It's just like, come on, Jesus. And he did a family deal for them. She had pain in his wife. She could not even lift the thing. So I'm saying, just put your hand up. Says, I can't do that. So just do it. And we worked it, and just complete total healing. She could rotate her arm. That was just incredibly awesome. And he hugged them. One of the favorite things I enjoyed. And as you hug them, the father smashes them and they go, boom. That was glorious. See, and as I'm sharing those stories about what was doing for them, it just goes without saying that if you've never experienced that, he really, really, really wants to do that for you. He really wants to touch you. He really wants to bring healing and wholeness to your heart. I think what encouraged me the most is just getting to Korea. You shared that story. Just Nicole, what I've shared, when I just landed and the chariots of fire came on. I'm like, you see, for me, whenever God plays the chariots of fire, it's more like laying a red carpet for me. Because that's just the significance of it. I mean, what are the odds of that? The plane touched down. Dun 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 dun. And I knew in my heart that he's going to rock them. It was just incredible. Anybody hear that story, testimony about the chariots of fire? Whenever there is a key significant event in our lives, we don't even plan it. Somehow God manages to play chariots of fire for us. The last time he played chariots of fire for us was during the gathering of the kingdom tribes. We knew that there was a shift in the spirit for us. It was in a place where the guy, the band, were just mucking around. It was not even on their song list. So after practice, they're just mucking around and they go, dun 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 dun. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm sensing a shift and a change in this nation. So, I mean, it's in Korea. And they're playing, Let Me Be a Chariot of Fire. In the plane. With 400 plus people on board. And God would ignore all any sense of sensibility and proprieties and what is right or wrong and plays a song for me. It was, literally. And probably more encouraging as well, that one of the things that I didn't think much about is in 2008, when I went to Toronto, I flew through Korea. And on the way back, somehow the travel agent left me hanging in South Korea for 24 hours. And having 24 hours without much to do, that was a moment that I clearly heard the Lord say, Charles, can you write a book for me? And that's when I started writing the book that is due to release any moment now. I started writing it on my phone in the airport in South Korea. And the moment that the book is about ready, he sends me back to South Korea. And I had quite an incredible encounter in the hotel room. That's where the Father literally came in the room and started sharing his heart with me. He talked about a lot of things, and then one of the things he said, that in 7 regions of Korea, he's going to raise 10 people that will carry the message of the my message of the Father heart message. And when I was going, I felt as though the Holy Spirit was saying, he's going to introduce me to some of them. So, it's incredible. So, the book that is not out yet, that you soon see, will be translated in Korean. That's incredible. And probably by the time this year is out, or the beginning of the next year, we have a real possibility of planting and establishing Access Church Korea. So it's quite incredible that the Lord, not only was he telling us about what he was going to do, but he's re-inviting us to be a part of what he said he was going to do. Sorry? Yeah, actually from Incheon, Seoul, North Korea, is only an hour drive away, the DMZ. So you are just about there, walking distance. Well, I was actually having super active imagination that they were just going to let us in with military escort and say, now, preach. I mean, how awesome is that, guys? I know there is an open window of opportunity and favor if we don't respond. If you guys don't respond, God will raise someone else. If you don't rise up, God will bring other people from somewhere else. Because our indifference or apathy is not going to stop what God wants to do. Eh? Say that English again. Our indifference or apathy is not going to stop what God wants to do. If we don't rise up to partner with the Holy Spirit, He'll bring people from somewhere else. And He will raise people from somewhere else to do it. And with every cell in my being, I'm going to give Him my everything. To partner with the Holy Spirit to see what is inviting us come to being. Even if you say go to North Korea and you're going to get shot, that won't faze me one bit. I would rather die for Jesus than live for myself. I think that's where I'm at. And I'm really, really hoping by next year, even within Australia, we have a church plant in the North Australia, whether we have a regional center, Townsville, targeting Cairns and the Northern Territory. So if you're feeling pastoral on you, I'm happy to work with you and send you there and we'd plant the church. If none of you put your hands up, I will go myself. Actually, that was one of the reasons why we spent that time in Townsville. And we feel it seems right to God and to us that we establish a regional center for the Northern Territory. And this is why we'll also continue doing ministry trips in Wellington, because we feel the Lord is calling us to establish a stronghold and the foothold south of the border that way. Which is why this next weekend, a few of us will be back to Wellington. So we're not just believing and trusting God for expansion and growth in Africa. We want to see it in Australia. We want to see it in Asia and Pacific. We want to see it wherever is opening a door. Remember? Apathy and indifference is not going to face God one bit. Hallelujah. So, I can go into preaching messages, which I've got an awesome one for today. Or I can ask you about what would you like to do about what I've just shared so far? And you're on sale. And there's great excitement in my heart for Korea. I feel the Father saying if we respond and take that step, He's going to birth one of the biggest, fastest growing youth movement in Korea. of which that is only an hour flight into South Korea, into China, and an hour's drive into everywhere. Korea is also like a hub in that region, which was cool that the students I was ministering to, they're Asia Pacific kids, so they're from Asia and the Pacific and the Micronesia. So that's why it also got me so excited that the gospel and what God did in their hearts, it just in one spot instantly goes. We just close our eyes, stand and raise your hands. You see, God doesn't work in a way we plan. Friday was my last day, so I had to do a morning lecture and then leave in the afternoon. So my plan was I was going to teach a little bit, create the context for people to be able to receive, and then release impartation. Sounds like a reasonable plan, right? And I just go there, the Holy Spirit smashes, everybody's on the floor going into encounters, so I never even spoke one bit. And these are the kids. Before I went, I was told this is the last week, and they have been very hard, very close, they haven't been receiving at all. And I'm standing there, I'm like, are these the same kids they were telling me about? Because it's just totally flipped inside out. Just tune out from everything and tune into the Father. Because He's already here. He really wants to touch you and transform you and flip you up and down. Daddy. Daddy. Just call out to Him. Just say, Papa. Daddy. Abba. Call it out to Him. Just call it out to Him. That's it. Father, just ask. Even as you came to the Korean kids and took them to times in their childhood in the womb, in places of trauma, in places of pain, and you revealed yourself to them in the moments of pain, in the moment of neglect, in the moment of abandonment. Lord, I just ask that you do the same. You do more than the same for your sons and daughters here this morning. See, some of them on the last day, the Holy Spirit just put them in a deep sleep. And when they woke up, they were totally different people. See, there's no method, the formula in how He does it, how He touches you, how He transforms you. Sharia. He really wants to touch you. He really wants to bring healing to you. He really wants to bring wholeness to you. Perhaps some of us are still in that place where we've been hanging on to pain, We've been hanging on to the wrong done us. And your Heavenly Father wants you to forgive your earthly father for not having been there for you as he should have been. He wants you to forgive your earthly father for not being the best loving role model or example. He wants you to forgive your earthly father for being an absent father, for being an abusive father, for never speaking hope into your life. If that's you in any shape or form, you could say, Heavenly Father, I choose in my heart to forgive and release my earthly father. I forgive him and I choose to let go every offense that I've harbored in my heart. Thank you, Daddy. Now just open your heart, lean back, and let him touch you. Let him touch you. Stay plugged, stay in that place, stay with him. There's no right or wrong way to respond. Some of us will feel an overwhelming peace. Some of us will feel a grief. You may want to laugh, you may want to cry, you may want to scream. Whatever you need to do, the main thing is allow the Father to touch you, meet you where you are. Person was saying, I was so hurt towards my father, and he passed away, and I never got time to make peace with him. And the Lord just met him and just brought healing to his heart. So even in your moment of pain, in your moment of loss, in your moments of regret, wants to reveal to you, himself to you as a father that is more than able. Just pray in the name of Jesus. that you will be established in him as sons. You will be established in him as daughters. You will be established in your identity in him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can I encourage you, and wherever, whatever you are, you can always come back to that place of stillness and let the Father encounter you and touch you and transform you, because he really wants to. So, offering, and while we're doing the offering, I'm going to get Nikita and Rex to come up. Don't go without giving. Hey, let's welcome Nikita, Rex, and Tiara. Yay. Who's holding the microphone?
We just want to share with you all that we are having another baby. It'll be due in May next year.
Awesome. Father, we thank you for the baby they're having. We just pray for blessing on them, that the new baby would add the joy in their family. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord another cheer.
Woohoo! How exciting. Well, we're on baby news. Everyone been praying for Tamika. She had her baby, Gracie. I don't know what day we're up to. It must be Friday. Yeah, Gracie, her first baby. So make sure you love on Tamika and her little baby girl and share them some love. And we're heading off to Wellington on Thursday. So all the guys coming with us, let's come up. We'll pray for everyone. Faye's not here. I think the rest of us are here.
Yeah. Well, you can stand, the rest of you, and stretch your hands towards them. Who said you've been called to the kingdom of expectation? Well, Father, thank you for the joy and the privilege just to be able to go out with you and for you, just to co-labor with you. Lord, even as these ones answer the call to go to Wellington, Lord, I just pray, may the grace, the anointing, the power, the favor, the protection of the Holy Spirit just be mightily upon them, upon us, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you use them to open up and break open the shackles of the enemy, the bondage of the enemy, and just release heaven over their lives and the communities in Jesus' name. And Lord, even as you use them to release heaven, Lord, I pray that let heaven, Father, be even gush in them. It's a mighty torrent in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord.